Please turn our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 27 to 31. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 27 to 31. God willing, the theme for our church this year will be God's church, God's family. And this is a very appropriate topic to consider because we want to be very sure what it means to function as a church. And we want to be a church that pleases God. And so, we have this topic, God's church, God's family. And there are many things that we can study concerning this topic. We pray by the grace of God that we will learn many things concerning God's church throughout the entire year. I've written in summary some of these things that we can learn. And hopefully, when we reach the end of the year where we have the church camp, as usual, we will have the grand summary of all things that we need to know and to follow from the Holy Scriptures. And while we were pondering over this theme, the Lord also led us to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27, to be the main verse to encapsulate this theme. And what is 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27? The Bible here says, "Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular." And so this will be the theme verse for the year. And it's very interesting that in this particular verse, the Bible describes the church as a body. As a body. And this is a body that belongs to Christ. Right. Now ye are the body of Christ. And of course, when we see down here, ye are the body of Christ, we know that this body, which is spoken of in this verse, is not referring to a physical body, it's not referring to the physical body of Christ. Neither is it referring to our own bodies, though it is true that our own bodies, each and every one of our bodies, belongeth to Christ, and that we should use our bodies as a living sacrifice unto God. But down here, the Bible is describing the church to be the body of Christ. And you ponder very carefully what it means to be a body, you realize that it is very, very different from the concept of the church that is now being propagated and promoted in Christianity today. Very often, people think of churches simply as buildings, and they judge whether or not a church is successful by the size and the grandeur of the building. But a church is really not the building, not the bricks and the mortar. But the Bible here tells us that the church, being a body, is made up of many members. And here the word members has this understanding of organs, various organs, various parts that make up a body. So in other words, when we say that the church is the body of Christ, we are saying that the church is made up of lively stones. is made up of men and women. And because this is the body of Christ, these men and women are those who profess and proclaim that they are followers of the Messiah, followers of Jesus Christ. So can a church exist even if there's no building? Yes, of course the church can exist even if there's no building. So long as there are a group of believers who gather together, united in their spirit to worship the Lord, well, you can call that a church. An assembly, right, of believers. In fact, the word church, right, is oftentimes rendered in the Bible also as assembly. And it comes from two words, right, in the Greek, right? Or rather, the Greek word is made up of two words. Right? Firstly, the Greek preposition ek, which means out, and then the Greek verb, right, kaleo, which means to call, right? And so the church is an ecclesia, right, meaning a congregation of those who are called out of spiritual darkness into the marvelous light of Christ. So a church is made up of such people. And the fact that it is a body also tells us it is not just an organization. Right? Now, of course, when we talk about an organization, you know, an organization has several departments, several sections, and a good organization should function to work towards the organization's vision, aim, and purposes. But when we talk about the church being a body, it's not just an organization, but more so, we can call it an organism. Like organism is something that is supposed to be alive, and the unity, right, that is found in the church is supposed to be one that is so strong, moving in the direction whereby the church will glorify the name of Jesus Christ and to magnify His word. And so these are the things that we can learn when we call the church, when the Bible describes the church as the body of Christ. Not just any organization, but more so there's this picture of the church being an organism whereby you have one head. And who is the head? Right, the head is none other than Jesus Christ Himself. Jesus Christ Himself. He is the head. And so therefore He sets the direction, He sets the teaching, He sets the practices of the church. And how do we know, therefore, what are these doctrines, what are these philosophies, what are these practices which the church should follow? Well, is found in none other than God's inerrant and infallible word. Right, this is Christ's word. And therefore, His direction on how we ought to function. And He being the head, expects all of us, right, to move in the direction in which He has dictated. It is not just the church. It is not just Tabernacle Bible Presbyterian Church. It is God's church. It belongs to Him. And all of us down here, we are in submission to His will. Especially if you say that you belong to this body. And so the question that we want to ask right in the beginning today is, whose body are you? Right, that's the first important question. Whose body are you? The church is Christ's body. And so, are you therefore belonging to this body? You can only belong to this body if, first of all, you are born again. You are born again. And that's why when you look at the scriptures, you see that the word church is oftentimes used in two ways. Firstly, there is this description of the church as the visible church or the local church. This would refer to the various churches that are around in the world today, which professes that they are followers of the gospel of Christ. They proclaim the truth. Now, what you will find in churches is that there are often a mixture of people. There are some who profess to be Christ, but they are actually not born again. And by, with time, they fade away. But then, also in churches, there are those who are true. They have, indeed, genuinely repented of their sins and are now disciples of the Lord. And we pray, O Lord, that you belong to this second group. Because if you belong to this second group, then you will be in what is known as the invisible church. What is the invisible church? Well, the invisible church would be all the genuine believers from the very beginning, right? Starting from Adam, right? All the way, right, to the end of the world. And this will be the group of people, right, that will enter into the new heaven and new earth, praising the Lord forever and ever. So we pray that you will be in this group. Not in the first group, right? The first group. Even though you call yourself to profess Christ, or you say that you are Christian, yet because you have never trusted in Christ, so though you may be among the believers, yet you can never truly function as a member of the body. And that is what we find in every church today. And the function of every church would be and to continue to preach the truth and pray that more and more, right? Not just in her midst, but also in the world out there, will come and truly be in the invisible church. So whose body are you? Are you truly born again? Because if you are not born again, then you are not Christ and therefore not part of the bodies. And to continue on from verse 27 would be in vain. So ask yourself this question: do you know truly the Lord? Have you truly understood the gospel and trusted in Him? That you have repented of your sins and believe that Christ was buried, that Christ died on the cross for your sins and then was buried, and on the third day He rose again from the dead for you. Have you truly believed in this and surrendered your life to Him? That is the first step. And if this is true in your life, then immediately you are baptized into the body of Christ. You now belong to Him, whereby He is the head, and now you function in order that this body of Christ may grow, may thrive. You are now a member in particular of the body of Christ. And this is without exception. This is without exception. Anyone who calls himself a Christian is immediately part of the body. You cannot say that I am a Christian, but I want to function alone. This is also another false movement that is going out there in the world. Oh, I'm a Christian, but I can function outside of a church. I can function alone. And so they go solo, right, in their mission in order to proclaim the truth. And you realize that by and large, when they go solo, right, without a church, right, to lead and guide them in their service, oftentimes, right, they fail in the mission for Christ. But they do not understand that once you are called a Christian, immediately you are part of Christ's body and you are immediately accounted to be a family And in fact, more than just a family, you are counted as to be part of that body, so organically linked to other true believers in the world. That when you do anything, it should always be to the benefit of that body. To be a blessing to fellow believers, and also to be a blessing to others in the world, whereby you seek to tell others about the gospel, the way to heaven. So please understand this, No man ought to regard himself as being separate from the body of Christ. And so what this means also is that when you talk about your own service for the Lord, inevitably, you must always view your service of the Lord in the light of the church. It's not just, I serve and it's only on my own or myself. Don't need to involve others. I don't need to care about the impact it has on others. I don't need to care for the impact it has on my body. I just wish to serve alone. No, you shouldn't be thinking that way. You should always be looking at your service in the light of how it would benefit the church in her mission to promote Christ. Always. And then you ask yourself, so far the Lord has not directed me to do anything. I am so far just a person that stays in the pew worshipping the Lord. Does that mean that it is wrong? No, of course it is not wrong. When you come to the Lord's house every Sunday, and then you are here seated at the pew, and then when you are singing the praises unto the Lord, what you're actually doing is that you are lending your support, you are giving off your voice, your praise, so that the witness of Christ can be declared loud and clear in this world. Is it not true that one of the greatest witnesses of the gospel in this world is the fact that Christians attend church on Sunday? Everybody knows that Christians attend church on Sunday, and that becomes a powerful message to the world. You're going somewhere. You're going somewhere to worship Sunday. Are you a Christian? Yes, I am. That would be the first step to alert them of the Savior. And then when you come, and then fellow believers see you coming to worship together with them, how encouraged they will be in their hearts that they are not alone. That it is not just one member makes up a whole body, but it is several members that make up the body of Christ. And that we are all on this journey together to heaven. You belong to Christ's body. Never ever underestimate the role in which the Lord has given to you. Don't try to go solo. Don't forsake the assembling of the saints together, fellowship with like-minded brethren. And we pray that the Lord will also help you to understand what is your place in this body. What is your appointment in this body? So now you say, in response to the question, whose body are you? I belong to Christ. I am Christ's body. Now, if you say, therefore, you are Christ's body, then you must understand what is Christ's appointment for you. Right? So, Christ's body, now Christ's appointment. And you read of Christ's appointment for all of us in verses 28 to 30. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then governments of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. And so what the Apostle Paul is trying to tell the Corinthian Christian down here is this. When you talk about the body, there must be members. And not every, and no, every member cannot claim to be something else. You are given a particular place in that body. So yes, one body, by diversities of gifts, diversities of appointments, and all these appointments and callings by the Lord serve to fulfill the role of glorifying the Lord. And recently when I was at Corinth, I realized that this message that was employed by the Apostle Paul was something in which the Corinthian church can very much relate to, because it is something that was present in their daily life. Now, in those days, there were clinics. Right? Please do not think that clinics only exist today. In fact, in some places, there are also polyclinics, hospitals. Now, today, when you enter a polyclinic or when you enter a hospital, there are several rooms, right? And each room are devoted to a certain particular function. And you want to go and find a particular department that deals with your condition. So how do you know which room to go to? Okay, wait, let me ask Harris. How do you know where to go to? If today you go to a polyclinic or hospital, how do you know where to go to? You see the paper that you receive, okay, then after that? And then you go. There will be a number, is it?
Yeah.
A number called, and then you follow the room number, and then you go.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, something like that. And of course, there will also be a lot of signs around, right? So for example, if it's an emergency, first thing you go, you find the A&E department. I don't think you'll go to the surgeon straight away. You won't go to the surgeon straight away, A&E first. So you will look out, where is the A&E session? There will be a sign there. And then like our young friend, Harris, has mentioned, you go there, you get a number, and then the number will direct you to a room, and then you go from room to room. And after that, when your condition is diagnosed, then you may say, oh, you have this particular condition, that condition, and then you may be going to various departments based upon the signs that are placed in the hospital or in the polyclinic. Now, in those days, how do they direct people to the right doctor to visit? Well, they will put the pictures of the various parts of the body. So for example, if you have an ear problem, you go to the room or you go to the place whereby a sign of a ear will be placed there. And then close to the room that has the sign of the ear, you may find one that has the sign of the leg. So the leg will deal with all manners of leg condition. Then you may see an eye, right? Deal with the eye condition, and then some with the nose. I'll deal with everything pertaining to the nose. So you have all these signs that are plastered about, right? The city of Corinth. And so when the Corinthian Christians, they read this, now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular, but this whole picture will be very vivid to them. Yes, when we go about the entire city, we see all these pictures of the various members of our body littered all over the city. And this is also became a picture to teach them. Yes, with regards to you as a Christian, you belong to the body, and you may be one of these organs. You may be the eye, you may be the nose, you may be the hand, you may be the leg. And that would be God's appointment for you. Since this is God's church, so it is God who decides whether or not you are the eye, you are the nose, you are the mouth, you are the ear. And also, which ear you will be, right? Because there are 2 ears in the body, right? There's one left and one right. So the Lord will decide, oh, maybe you are the right ear, and the other one, you are the left ear. It's up to the Lord to decide. And those of us who are the ears, or those of us who are the eyes, let us therefore not say that we do not need the other parts of the body. Remember, we are God's body. We are God's body. We should not say that we do not need the other parts of the body. But at the same time, let us also not desire to be something which the Lord has not appointed us to be. But that's why down here in verses 28 to 30, right, the Apostle Paul says, "And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles, have all the gifts of healing, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret." And the reason why he mentioned this was because the Corinthian church was a church that abused, especially the gift of tongues. Some of them, purporting to have the gift of tongues, was standing up in the congregation according to their own choosing. And then they speak in all these words, right, that come from their mouth, which the people could not understand. And they thought that it was something that is good, right, something that was glorifying to the Lord. But actually what they were doing was they were seeking their own glory. And some of these who were so-called demonstrating the gift of tongues, and by the way, the word tongues here is not the kind of gibberish, right, that you are hearing in the world today, right? The word tongues, right, in the Bible, oftentimes come from two different words, right? One word is the word glossa, right, where we get the English word for glossary, and the glossary will be the place where you find a collection of terms, and where you can find it, right, in a particular book. And then the other word is the word dialectos, where we get the word dialect. And the dialect basically is a language that is spoken. Right? There is syntax, there is grammar, there are terms, there is morphology. Right? So the word tongues down here, right? Not gibberish, referring to known languages. Well, some purport that they have all these languages and they wanted to stand up at various points in the worship service, and then to show forth that, oh, I know all these things. But how do I know whether the person is speaking a true language or not? Interestingly, when we talk about the beginning of the charismatic movement in the world today, and we go all the way back to the Azusa Street Revival, yes, it happened at the turn of the 20th century. Supposedly what happened was somebody stood up in the congregation and started speaking Chinese. And the person was not a Chinese. And this was held in America, whereby you don't have many Chinese. And in fact, in that church, it was a church that was without Chinese. So how did they know that it was Chinese? You won't know that it's a Chinese unless you have somebody who can interpret, right? Somebody who can interpret. And so what you find in the Corinthian church is the same. Actually, all these things happen are no different from things that have happened in the past. You have people who started spouting, but then there were nobody that can interpret. And so they just go about doing all these things as a means of glorifying themselves. So the Apostle Paul have to say, well, this is no good. Firstly, don't try to be something, or don't try to purport to have a gift which the Lord has not given to you. You call yourself a Christian? Yes, all of us will surely receive some manner of spiritual gifts, because the Lord wants us to serve Him, to be His witness here on this earth. And how to win the spiritual battle on this earth, how to do spiritual work, right? Only if you have the Lord's grace, and right? Only if you have, right, these spiritual gifts, right, to help you do the Lord's work. So you will have some form of spiritual gifts. And the Lord will be the one who decide who will receive what spiritual gifts. And after that, to decide the appointment. So therefore, if you are not a tongue speaker, then don't purport to be a tongue speaker and then come and disrupt the service. Then what happens if you are a tongue speaker? Well, then know your place, know your function. Your function is not to be an apostle, not to be a teacher, not to be a prophet, not to be a worker of miracles. Your function is that of a tongue speaker, and so you go about using that gift wisely. Well, maybe there may be somebody from a foreign land there, and then you minister to that person. Or when you go, for example, to another congregation where there is predominantly people speaking in that foreign tongue, and then you use it. Right? So that's how you would use the gift of tongues. So understand this, right? Here, the Bible states very clearly, it's the Lord who has said, right? Take note, it's God who has said, it's His church, it's His family, He is the one who says. And so He appoints, right? He is Christ's appointment. Some will be the apostles, and when we talk about the apostles, there are, well, altogether, like 12 apostles, right, in the Bible. Right? And the Lord is the one who decides, who are the 12 apostles, with Paul being the last one, right? How do we know the number is 12? Right? Because in the book of Revelation, how many apostles stated there? 12 apostles. Right? 12 apostles. So all these apostles, all determined by the Lord. The Lord was the one who called them, right, to set the foundations of the early church, right, church witness aright. And after that, no more. Right? It's the Lord's determination. Apostle must be somebody who is firstly appointed and anointed by the Lord to be apostle, and secondly, they must have personally seen the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. After these 12, no more. No more, that's it. If you happen to be another person that is called Paul, it's not this Paul that is writing, another person that is called Paul, you cannot go to this point and say, hey, come down, my name is also Paul, I take over you. No. Definitely, this friend Paul here, if you put a friend Paul here, he's not seeking to be that. Right? So it's the Lord who says. And then there are some who are prophets. In those days, the canon was still being written. And so there will be certain prophets who were also going about revealing what God has given to them from heaven. Right? So you have those like Agabus, right? You have Ananias, they would be out there prophesying. So there were some of these prophets around. Then you have the teachers. Are the teachers? What is the difference between the teachers and the prophets? Well, the teachers will be those who will be teaching, right, from the written scriptures. Right? Just like today, we have, right, Sunday school teachers. We have the pastor teacher, right? And we are all preaching from what? We are all preaching from the Bible. Right? Teaching from the Bible. Right? So there will be those whom the Lord has set place, given the gift of teaching, right? They will be doing this. And then there will be workers of miracles. Yes, these will be people who God will appoint at a certain special time to perform supernatural acts. And of course, this supernatural act is performed by the power of God. It's not of their own power, but of God's power. And these miracles will serve to be a sign, teaching, right? Lessons, right, to the audience, right? Whether it be to a group of unbelievers so that they may know that, yes, truly, this gospel that will be preached is the true gospel. Or sometimes even among God's people who may be weak in faith, and the Lord may appoint such miracles to be done so that they can learn certain lessons concerning God. So there will be all these workers of miracles. Now, with the Bible, we know that all these sign gifts have ceased, right? And that will be dealt with in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Right? These miracles, these sign gifts of healing, even this sign gift of tongues, right, have now ceased. Right? So now if we say that a person has a gift of tongues, please do not think of it in such a way like, or in those days where they can suddenly supernaturally learn a tongue. Today we say if a person has a gift of tongues, every one of them will have to go through the normal process of learning, and the Lord will grant a special, right, this a special understanding to them, right, so that they will know how to learn all these languages and use it for the Lord's glory. And not like in those days, right? Remember the apostles? The apostles during Pentecost, suddenly they know how to speak in another tongue. You won't find that today. If not, the FEBC students will be very happy. Right, Rachel? Go in straight away, Hebrew. A. don't need to go through lesson. No, right? She has to study very hard, right, in order to learn the Hebrew language, the Greek language. Right? Same for our brother Dapian. So there are people who are given all these gifts. That today you want to ask for these gifts, you also cannot get. Why? Because the Lord is the one who appoints all these gifts, and then it's the Lord who also set the people in their various appointments. Not everyone who is called an apostle will be going to the same place to minister. True? There is one apostle to the Gentiles. Who is it? The apostle Paul. It's not Peter who was called the apostle to the Gentiles. Now, it does not mean that Peter would not be ministering to the Gentiles. He did in the book of Acts. But among the apostles, the one who was given especially the task of going out to the Gentile nations to preach the good news of Jesus Christ, to places where Christ has not been named, was who? Was the apostle Paul. And then for the apostle Peter, well, mainly to the Jews. And then when you read, for example, the books of the martyrs, you realize that according to tradition, many of the apostles went to different parts of the world in order to minister. Right, some say Thomas, right, went to Sri Lanka. And so when you go to Sri Lanka today, you will see a lot of churches named after Thomas. Right, named after Thomas. Right. So even the apostles, different, right, they have even the same gifts, but also different appointments. And each functioning to do the work which the body of Christ should do. And so it is also for ourselves. And the question then would be, what is the appointment which the Lord has asked you to do? Well, that is something in which you must pray. When you walk close to the Lord, you pray, you let the Lord direct. And then, with time, with the Lord's leading, He will show it to you. He will show it to you. Is it to be a teacher? Then the Lord will help you, and the Lord will grant you the grace to excel in it and to use that gift wisely, right, to glorify Him. Is it to be a musician in the church? And then the Lord will grant you that gift to know how to use it in a mature way, in order to bring across, like, the various lessons of the scripture to the people. Is it in the gift of governments? Then the Lord will help you in administration. Is it in the gift of helps? That means in terms of the mercy ministry, helping others, encouraging them. Then the Lord will also, right, grant you the grace to do so. And pray that the Lord will help you to abide and persevere in it. And also to be contented with the place which the Lord has given to you. Because that is all His appointment. And His appointment is always the best, right? He's the God only wise. And then, all these different parts, now, with their different appointments, Christ's appointment, now functioning in the way that Christ would desire. And then, when this is true in the church, then the Lord can use the witness of the church in order to glorify Him. And this is exactly how we would like to function also in Tabernacle Bible Presbyterian Church. You will notice that, you know, there are some of you who are involved in different areas of services in the church, and we would like that to continue. And we would like also for you to pray and see if the Lord is also leading you to other areas to serve. And, you know, the evidence is already found in the weekly today, right? In the weekly today, you have a program for 2020, right? Do you see that? Program for 2020. Then you take a look at the coordinators. Are all the coordinators the same? You already have different coordinators. They are all appointed by the Lord. Right? It's not just one coordinator. If everything is the pastor sure cannot function. Right? If everything is Elder John, also Elder John towards the end of the year will surely collapse. Now, different people, different appointments, they have different gifts. And even then, you have the coordinator will probably run a committee, and each person in the committee, they will have different gifts, they will have different appointments given to them by the Lord. And when each one abides in their proper calling and doing their best to be fervent and serving the Lord in the right way, well, this witness for the Lord will thrive. And so when you look at this program for 2020, please don't take it just as something that is that has an administrative function. Yes, of course, this is important, so that you know what the programs that are going on in the year, who are the people that are involved in coordinating each program, and you can plan your calendar. But more than just that, it also shows that there are members in one body. That is the key. There is also a lesson behind it. There are members in one body. Not many bodies, but one body. Not one member, but many members. And each one has their specific calling which the Lord has given to them. So what is your calling? Pray. And when all of us know our calling, then what we must do is that we must use that which the Lord has given to us to glorify His name in His way, right? So you have Christ's body, you have Christ's calling, and then you have Christ's way. And this you can find in verse 31. But covet earnestly the best gifts. And here when the Bible says covet earnestly the best gifts, he's not trying to say that you should pray to have certain gifts which you feel that can put you into the limelight. No. Right? This is not what it means down here. Right? So some things that, oh, if I do not have a particular gift and I pray, then the Lord will suddenly give me this gift. No, that's not what it's referring to. But here, firstly, understand that this term covered earnestly is written to the entire group of believers. So it's written to the whole community in the Corinthian church. Right? So the whole Corinthian church covered earnestly the best gifts. And then the other thing that we must understand is that this term covered earnestly comes from the word where we get the English zeal, Z-E-A-L, zeal. So in other words, when we talk about coveting earnestly the best gifts, it's not only this desire that that these gifts may be found in the congregation, and of course we pray that these best gifts may be found in the congregation. Right? There may be certain needs in the congregation. The session oftentimes gathers and pray. Well, there will be more people who the Lord will raise up to join us in that labor. That's okay. That's perfectly fine. But more so, when the Bible says, but cover earnestly the best gifts, it's talking about how we should use these gifts diligently, fervently, zealously, for the Lord's use, for the Lord's purpose, which the Corinthian church was not doing. They were coveting in the wrong way. Right? Coveting to do what? Coveting to boost their own ego, their own name, not Christ's name. Now here, cover earnestly the best gifts also refers to this. You pray that the Lord will raise up people with the required gifts to serve in the various ministries which the Lord has committed to the church. And then after that, pray that we ourselves will also have the right kind of zeal, right kind of fervor, right kind of diligence, right, to use what the Lord has given to us. Right? Just like in the parable of the what? Parable of the 10 talents. Right? Parable of the 10 talents, what was the call down there? Oh, to be faithful and obedient to God's word. And especially with respect to the spiritual gifts, right? Be faithful and obedient in using what the Lord has given to you and do His will. But when we do this, when we are zealous, we must make sure that we are doing it the Lord's way. And so therefore, the Bible here says, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Now, what is this more excellent way? That would be the way that is pronounced in 1 Corinthians 13, which quite a number of you would know would be the grand chapter of Christian charity. A charity that is a love that is what? A love that is in Christ, a love that is in the truth, a love also for the brethren. And that is what we ought to do. We ought to minister to one another, right, in love. And that is Christ's way. And of course, when I say in love, it's a love that is always in truth. Because if it's not in truth, firstly, it's not love. If it's love, then it always rejoices in the truth. So you know the truth. And now, constrained by the love of Christ, you know what the Lord has done for you in your life. And you know what a great privilege that you are now part of this body. The people in the world, they cannot claim to be Christ's body. Like it or not, they can say, I want to join this body, they cannot come in. Right? Some organizations, you say, I want to join this body, you can just simply go in. Nevertheless, to go in, sometimes these organizations, they will have certain criteria. Right? And so you want to come in, you also cannot come in. Now, with regards to entrance into Christ's body, to be part of the body of Christ, the one criteria is you must be born again, right? And you know that you're born again only by the grace of God. And so if you are born again only by the grace of God, then you must understand what a wonderful privilege it is to be in the body of Christ. What a wonderful privilege it is for you to serve the Lord. This is Christ's love that he has displayed to you. And so you, in return, you also love the Lord. And because you love the Lord, you are now giving your all to follow exactly Christ's blueprint on how you should use these gifts in order to glorify the name, glorify his name. In love. Because when you do it in love, you will not do it the way the Corinthian Christians would do it. That is, they have their gifts. Sometimes these gifts, they are not legitimate. Even if the gift was legitimate, they were abusing it. They were only using it to cause their own name to rise. Never ever do that. The first rule of anybody who is serving the Lord is always humility, humility, humility. Always Christ must be magnified and our own name must decrease. And you can only cause Christ's name to increase if you truly serve, constrained by the love of Christ. I am doing this because I love Christ. I am doing this also because I love those who are part of God's family. It is my family. I am organically linked to all of them. Through who? Through the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Spiritually, organically linked with all of them. I am linked because of the Holy Spirit which indwells within us. It is the Holy Spirit which forms that bond of peace between all of us. And so therefore we will unite together even to that very same goal. To do that which is right in the sight of God. And that is what it means to be God's church, God's family, Christ's body. The question then is, are you part of the body of Christ? Never forget the most vital question. Are you part of the body of Christ? Because if you are part of the body of Christ, then don't ignore the fact that you are a member in Christ's body. Don't ignore the fact that you have Christ's calling. Don't ignore the fact that you have to do everything in Christ's way. If all of us are mindful of this, the Lord will bless us with yet another year of pleasing service in the sight of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we do thank thee for the precious word which you have given to us for our learning today. And how, Lord, we ask that you will lead and guide us to even make good and full use of the various gifts which you have rendered to us. This is thy church. It must be run in thy way. So help thy people in love to serve one another and especially to serve our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to whom we belong. May Christ truly be the head of the church. May Christ truly be the master of our lives. May we, O Lord, truly be a channel of blessing to others that we may meet from day to day. This is our humble cry. In Jesus' most blessed name we pray. Amen.